Welcome to the Inglorious Blasters podcast, the Star Wars Legion podcast, talking anything and everything glorious or inglorious about the game. My name is Corey, and with me today are two Gorg faces I call friends, John and Brendan. How's it going, my dudes?
It's going good. How are you doing, sir?
Doing fantastic.
I suppose my face is Gorgish.
I suppose it is, too. Apparently, I've never watched the show, but it's from Star Wars Resistance. It's just basically, this feels, again, all these insults are really mean. A stupid person, similar to the real world slang, dork face.
Okay. Yeah, Resistance is basically the one show I won't recommend people watch, having watched all of it.
You have watched all of it. Okay. Yeah.
Let me say this way. Most of season one is very childish, and then it has a great finale, and then it wastes the potential for great storytelling with season two, and then it ended.
Got it. All right, I will not be watching that.
Yeah.
But what we will be doing is talk about Legion today. That's what everyone's here for. We got a bunch of new stuff. We got new rules. We got new pre-orders. John and I went to two separate tournaments, and then John and I played a little friendly game. So we're going to be talking about all of that, hopefully. Stick around. Should be a great episode. The only tournament we want to highlight is Worlds. If you're going to be there, come say hi. Maybe get a sticker. All three of us are going to be there. Yay.
What?
Brendan, last minute?
That's news. I'm going to
be
there.
Yeah, that's news.
Heck yeah. Brendan, you're going to be judging, correct?
I'm going to be a judge. So, you know, I will make sure all of my judge calls, if I have to go to Corey or John's table, are against them.
As you should.
Yeah.
as you should.
It's only fair.
Look, I'm going to call you over just to berate me, because I'm going to be really missing Dave, because Dave is not going to be at Worlds to berate me to do good.
I don't have that skill to berate
people. I'm just going to call you over to just make fun of me, okay?
At best, I can just walk up and just go, I wouldn't have done that.
Then that'll be enough for me, because that's what Dave tells me all the time. All
right, good. That'll work.
Perfect. So let's just get right into it. So we got some new rules. We got new rules for a bunch of different stuff. We don't really know what they're attached to, but we could kind of speculate what they're attached to.
We can, and I got to say, this is kind of weird. I don't recall a time where we've gotten this many updates to the rules with keywords for things that aren't out yet.
This is a new one for us, yeah. Normally, we get this stuff spoiled, and then we see a keyword, and sometimes we don't even know what the keyword does, but now it's like, now it's just like, we do the opposite. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's fun stuff. One of the updates is one we've known about because the Inquisitors have been spoiled and they are out later this week. So, you know, I'm very excited. But that was the interrogate keyword, you know, that Seven Sister has. While units at range one of an enemy unit, treat the unit's command cards as having one more pip. Another one that we see in the CRB is some changes to RAM X. And the changes are, I'm just going to read the blue text for RAM X.
Yep.
It may change X results to crit results if it meets either of the following conditions. The unit leader has a notched base, and the unit performed at least one full standard move at its maximum speed during the same activation as an attack using RAM X. Or the unit leader has a small base and the unit performed at least one move during the same activation as an attack using RAM X. So basically, this is for the fifth brother who has RAM, and he doesn't have to go full speed to use RAM. He just has to move.
So ideally, I think this is for you force push them and then you go follow them up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like effectively.
Potentially, if you have an immobilize and now you're speed one instead of speed two.
Right, exactly.
It doesn't still stop you from doing a RAM. So those are the two we kind of already knew were coming, but then we got a few more new ones that we had no clue. The tweet came out from Atomic Mass, and it said it had updates for Inquisitors, Clone Commandos, Bad Batch, and Range Troopers. So the remaining, we don't know if they are for the Clone Commandos, Bad Batch, or Range Troopers. However, at least one of them, I'm pretty sure, is just for the Bad Batch. And that's the next one I'm going to read. We're not regs. That seems like very Bad Batchy.
Yep. Pretty sure they said that a couple times.
Yep. So a unit with the We're Not Regs keyword may not spend green tokens on other clone trooper units, and other clone trooper units may not spend that unit's green tokens. The fire support keyword cannot be used while a unit with the We're Not Regs keyword is performing an attack. So basically it gets rid of a lot of the clone shenanigans and doesn't allow for fire supporting.
I'm okay with this. They already have a lot of those like shenanigans, so they don't need to keep stacking on it.
Yeah,
seems fair. They'll probably be surge hit, so to just be another source of funneling through surge hit fire supports, and they look like they're going to be pretty awesome. So the last thing you need is some 20 die crazy surge hit pool. So yeah, that seems fair.
Yep. So the interesting part is on that screenshot for the box, it says operative expansion. So I'm imagining they take up the operative slot, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know if like you get the Bad Batch and like each one of them is an operative, or like collectively they are an operative unit. I'm curious to see how they're going to do it.
So that would be some unexplored territory. Yeah, because there's no, if the whole unit is an operative, which we obviously don't know, so just, you know, speculating, that would be very cool. Kind of like when Dark Troopers came out and they were the first heavy that was like a full unit. So kind of a similar idea, just in the operative slot. Mm-hmm.
But Corey, you said box. What box?
Is there not a box? Wait,
no. Well, how did they get packaged? We didn't talk about that. There have been some leaks. We've seen boxes, and we've got pre-release dates.
Hot off the press.
I jumped the gun. Whoops.
You jumped the gun there. So,
whoops, my bad.
Real quick, we'll just say we see the Bad Batch is available for pre-order in July, and it looks like the price is $49.99 US. Clone Commandos are coming out for pre-order in May, and they are $34.99. And Range Troopers are also up for pre-order in May, and they are $39.99. So I am honestly shocked that the Range Troopers are coming out before the Bad Batch, considering we've known about the Bad Batch since Adepticon last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little funny, but hey. They're at least coming out. We got a street date.
Yep.
They are coming.
Supposedly. They are coming. another thing I didn't mention, we did see an update to the independent keyword. So at the start of the activation phase, if a unit with the independent keyword does not have an order token, that unit may gain the listed tokens, or perform the listed action as a free action. So that means we're going to see a unit that has independent action.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is what that says, isn't it? Okay.
So who it could be independent. Let's say it's independent move. Imagine a unit getting a free move every time you don't give it an order.
That would be really, really good.
Yeah.
I could see the Bad Batch or the Clone Commandos having that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what they do. They're always on the move taking targets down, so.
Mm-hmm.
That would be frustrating if you were lining up a shot on them, kind of like a now you see me, now you don't type thing. And all of a sudden, like I'd be lining up a fire support to take that unit down. You don't issue them the order, and then they get that free move, almost like a Padme aggressive negotiations where they're there, but now they're no longer there before the turn starts because they get a free move action.
Yeah, what if it's like independent attack? Oh, God.
That would be amazing.
I don't know about that, guys.
There's some crazy stuff.
I don't see that being the case, but that would be an amazing keyword.
That would be way too good. Nice. Where do you think complete... I guess I'll move on to the next keyword that we see. Complete the mission. Do you think that's just going to be on the commandos?
Well, let's read it first.
Yeah.
Complete the mission during setup for each friendly unit with the complete the mission keyword. Place a friendly priority mission token on the battlefield, not within any deployment zone. While a unit with the complete the mission keyword is at range 1 of a friendly priority mission token, that unit gains surged block. When a unit with a complete the mission keyword attacks an enemy unit at range 1 of a friendly priority mission token, that attacking unit's attack pool gains the critical 2 keyword. I definitely think the clone commandos have this one.
I for sure think they do too.
Agreed.
So I like this because if you bring 2 clone commando units, you could set one up for defense and one up for offense and just let your clones go to town.
Should be pretty cool.
Yep.
I'm excited.
I like the idea.
I just
want
to see their unit card.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. I hope that gets spoiled at Adepticon, that's kind of my prediction.
Definitely seems like
it. That seems like the place to do it.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
And then lastly, our last new rule is advanced targeting unit type X. So when a unit with the advanced targeting X keyword declares an attack against an enemy unit with the unit type listed, before measuring range, it may gain X aim tokens. A unit that uses the advanced targeting X keyword may only form one attack pool and skips the declare additional defender step of the attack sequence. This one is the one that's most confusing to me. So I assume unit type core or something, and you get, you know, X number of, you get an aim token for shooting at that.
Advanced targeting armor, core, yeah. I don't know.
Trooper.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
It's interesting. I could see that potentially being on the commandos, but it seems like since they said one of the, you know, these rules also pertain to the range troopers, that's probably a range trooper rule. It could also be on the clone commandos. I could see it going on both.
I could see it on the clones for sure. Range troopers, I have no idea what they do. So I just know they were on the heist for the Han Solo movie. That's it.
Yes, they were on the train.
I don't know how advanced they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the only time we've seen anything that they do, and they didn't really do much because nope. Plot armor.
They got magnetic boots.
Yeah. Yeah. So my assumption is that they're going to have scale or something, just like assuming that they can like walk up walls. But
that'd be good.
And especially if people continue to create height terrain for Geonosians. So.
Yeah. Gotta love it. I enjoy all the new extra heights.
Yeah, but right now range troopers are the biggest guess for me. I think that's probably the only rule that would associate with them based on what we saw. Unless they're the ones who have the independent change.
Ooh, I could see that too. Ooh, Empire getting some independent. Oh man, and then you just like play some pikes with it too. Oh, that'd be an all independent Empire army. Uh-oh.
Then you could really focus on your Vader play.
Yep. Oh man. My bet is they get the independent.
Yeah. It's either going to be the commandos. I mean, the Bad Batch is pretty independent. It could be all 3 units for all we know.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I'm looking forward. We're, you know, now we have, you know, at least some pre-order dates. So this summer looks like things are going to get shooken up pretty good.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Right on. Anything else before we move on to talk about some tournament stuff? Some of the games we played?
No. I mean, some new rules. Just keep remembering, you know, the existing rules and add new ones to your memory.
That's right. Don't lose the old rules.
Excited to get new Republic units. Three, potentially. Bad Batch, Commandos, and then if you count... Is it Delta Squad?
Delta Squad, yeah.
If you count that as like a third sort of unit type thing.
Yeah, I mean, they did mention that the Clone Commandos would include Delta Squad, so I'm assuming it's kind of like a Inferno and ISF sort of a deal. So
yeah, so it's kind of like... I realize that's not truly three, but it's almost like having three
almost
options.
Almost like it.
Yeah, three options. Yeah. So, and a new operative option. The one thing that was interesting is when you look at that box, there's not a Rebel symbol on the Bad Batch. I know that there's a lot of stuff on Discord right now where people are speculating, like, is that just a misprint? Like, did they, you know, like how it doesn't have the dual symbol, like with Republic and
it's potentially a misprint.
Rebels. Yeah, it's, I mean, because AMG did come out and say it is dual faction, right?
Yes. Bad Batch is going to be dual faction. They said at Adepticon last year. And honestly, that's the only way it can ever make sense since Omega's in the box, because she was never really part of the Grand Army of the Republic.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. Well, John and I went to some tournaments.
That we do.
John, you went to Gamescoop. You want to talk about how it went, some of your games?
Yeah. Went to Gamescoop in Westchester, Pennsylvania. It was a good time. Ivan, who's a listener of ours, ran the event. He did a phenomenal job. I believe this is the first event that he has run, so he did a great job. We ended up with six players, so not as many as we would have liked. We had enough room to run a full 16 and the tables to do so. I had my car packed full of tables, so I brought three. He had five. So we were ready to rock and roll. But we had six total. Ivan was signed up to play, but he dropped last minute, so we didn't have an odd number. So that we didn't have somebody who was, in a buy situation each round. But as you may have guessed, I was playing a Republic list. This was
shocking.
It is shocking. Like a coward. Like the coward that I am. A little bit of twist on this list. This is an 8 activation list. Anakin, Padme. So the bones are still there. Anakin with saber throw, push, offensive stance, and seize the initiative. Padme with seize. Phase 1, clone troopers with DC-15 and a captain situational awareness, two of those. A phase 2 with a mortar, arc troopers with situational awareness, that's a full arc squad, two of those, and then Echo and a strike team. So, 8 acts, 4 or 5 man squads with SA, so basically a dodge spam list, but traded out the pikes and the capo to upgrade the pikes essentially to arc troopers with SA and drop it from 9x to 8x. Still 800 points to no bid,
which is where I want to be.
A super beefy 8x, and every act is super expensive. So, but it has 6 range 4 poke shots, and 5 of the 6 can move shoot. So it is... It is quite frustrating to play against, but I'll just give a brief overview of my games. My round 1 opponent was Scott. He was playing a 10-act Blizzard Force list, which was Veers Vader. Not your typical Blizzard Force list. He had 4 E-webs.
My nice. Man.
Yep.
4 nice. E-webs. He's now my hero.
Yep. So Veers Vader, 4 E-webs, 2 HRUs with the standard loadout, and then 2 Snows with medics. I was red, he was blue, because he was 796. We ended up playing hostage, major offensive, and clear conditions. So basically he had to come to me because I was 800, we were on hostage. I believe hostage was in the 3rd spot, so I basically forced us into hostage knowing that he would have to come to me. And my main goal was basically turn 1, pick off one of the E-webs to knock him down to 9-axe and then just kind of keep moving back. And that's pretty much what I did. Knocked out an act early. At the beginning of round two, I played Padme's Aggressive Negotiation, so my hostage got to get that free move. So it was just basically on the run, got that free speed one move. So it was just hightailing it out of there before Vader could catch it. And then I also popped Seize on Padme to do a fire support on Vader, who was going to, I think, essentially try to run out there and grab the hostage before it got away. And then I ended up putting, I think it was 4 or 5 wounds on Vader. So then Vader ended up running back to try to get heals off on him before he then came back, which I think at that point he should have just Hail Mary'd Vader into my army, because it's like, if you turn back now, you're never going to catch me and it's pretty much game over, which is pretty much what happened. The hostage ran away and the whole army retreated. And then at that point, Vader was too far back to ever really catch me, because I just kept moving back and shooting, so kiting him as he was coming at me. And at the end, I think we called it around round 4 or 5 when I had picked off 2 E-webs and an HRU and hadn't lost anything at that point. So Scott was a good guy. I've played him a couple times before at Gameskeep. He's a regular there. Yeah, that was round 1. Round 2, I got the pair down, and I was playing, ironically, Auden, who is Scott's son.
Father-son duo.
Father-son duo.
John, are you bullying on families now?
That's my main goal.
That's what he does.
he was playing a double Jedi list, Anakin Obi.
Nice.
Adax. Nice. Cool. Yep. We were both 800 points, so we rolled for it. I can't remember if I lost the roll. I wanted to be red player typically. I think I actually won the roll off, but then he had recovered the supplies and some other things because the double Jedi, and I was like, oh, never mind, I'll actually play my deck, which normally I'd like to be red and pick my side. So I ended up being blue, and we ended up playing hostage, major offensive, clear conditions. So identical to round 1. Pretty much identical situation to game 1. Basically just did the Padme round 2 triple move, or got the free move at the beginning of round 2 to get my hostage out of dodge right away. And in round 1, I was able to pick off one of his arc strike teams. So we were both 800 points, but then I was up on kill points. And then at that point forced him to come to me, which is where I wanted it to be. Cause then I was up on kill points by 55 from killing one of his arc strike teams. So then the tie was essentially broken. And then from that point, it kind of downward spiraled. He had to
the bullying continued.
Yeah, he had to get aggressive with Obi and Anakin, which led to Obi getting fire supported off the board, and then he conceded at the end of round 2.
A terrible person.
Yeah, or no, beginning of round 3, because I set up a fire. He tried to do a last first, and then I won the roll off, I believe, on a one pip. So there was a The best thing with arcs, if I learned anything about this, is the immune deflect fire supports are amazing, because you can fire support into a Jedi and they're not going to take wounds back because of the immune deflect being part of that dice pool. So
it's pretty good.
So when you're throwing, a 18 die pool, when you're fire supporting like a range 2 arc shot with the DC 15 with zero fear of all of the surges they might be rolling on defense, like they're still going to block them, but you're not going to wound, like potentially you're not going to lose potentially your entire squad because of that many dice they're rolling. They're just going to be straight blocks. That is a beautiful thing. So that was round 2. Which is victory by concession. And then round 3 was against Bara, who I've played before. I think we played last at ACO. She's a regular around our area. Really good player.
She was playing a 800 point 10 act Leia, Op Luke, R2, Landspeeder list. And then the other six acts were two Naked Commandos, Leia Duck and Cover, two Mark IIs, and then two Vets with the Range 4 gun. I was red, she was blue, and we ended up playing VAPS on Battle Lines with War Weary. And pretty much what ended up happening was we each set up our VAPS on opposite ends of the board. R2 came running across one side. Padme, I played her card to give her secret mission. She was running up along the board on the opposite side. And so so it was essentially going to end up being a 3-3 tie. And it was going to come down to whoever got the kill points.
For VAPS, it would be 5-5 with the secret mission?
Oh, I'm sorry. 5-5. I'm thinking. Sorry, I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking hostage. Now I'm... I've got all these hostage games in my mind.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was thinking 2-2 from both the other hostage games. But, yes. So, yeah, it would be 4-4, but 5-5 with the VP from Secret Mission from R2 on her side or Padme on my side. So, basically, just looking for the kill points. So, in this situation, my main goal was turn one. How do I get the arcs to get aimed up from offensive stance from Anakin, and then an aim quick think from Padme, followed by aims from the DC-15s and the mortars, so that essentially my arcs would have 10 aims between the move from tactical for all three arcs, two aims from offensive stance aim on Anakin, an aim and quick think from Padme, so that's 2-2, a name from the DC-15 squad, a name from the other DC-15 squad, and a name from the mortar squad. So that's...
This is why I'm not a clone player, because the aim math is too much.
Yeah.
John, see, you're a monster.
So all in all, you would have... That's why this list is crazy, because against red saves, this is awesome. You've got 10 aims. You've got... Each arc goes sequentially. So the arc goes, and he's got his aim. He's got one aim that he can share from one of those clone squads. And then there's the four on Anakin and Padme that they can use via Exemplar. So it's 10 total across the board. And you can pick off pretty... It's kind of pick your poison. So the goal was, I'm just going to clip an MK2. And then it's like, now I'm red player. Come to me. Or not red player. Now you come to me. We're no longer tied. And basically what happened was I got that MK2 down to, I think, its final wound. I was not able to roll those dice into where I needed to be, or I think one of the arcs didn't have a shot. Either way, the Mark II, I could not kill it, and then it ran away. And I was like, darn it, we got ourselves a game here. So, Luke then came flying around, was like going from building to building, working his way towards me, doing his Op Luke thing. And all the while I'm knowing like, okay, like I don't want him to get into my lines. And then I'm trying to think here. This is also like almost 2 weeks ago at this point. At some point, Op Luke ends up just about to charge me, and then I play Padme's 2-pip to move the two squads that he was in charging distance from back, each a speed 1 move before like the turn starts. So normally I use that card for hostage, but instead I used it so that they couldn't get charged. So it's kind of like, well, now you're stuck there again. And all the while, I was just trying to figure out how I was going to clip an activation so it didn't just come down to a tie. And eventually, she ended up diving with Luke. And I ended up... I can't remember if I fire support... I know I fire supported him. I think I put 4 wounds on him because he played full surprises. Then he charged into my ARC troopers... Killed 3 of 5 ARC troopers because Impervious saved me. Another benefit to the ARC troopers over the pikes.
The rich keep getting richer.
And then
you're a terrible person.
And then Anakin force pushed Luke down, and then we finished off Luke, and then I was like, okay, that's game. And then what I did not see happening was Leia jumped in the land speeder, and then the land speeder came flying down the board. And I spent
this glorious vehicle coming screeching by.
Yeah, and I spent the entire game trying to hide Padme from this land speeder with Leia in it and all these scouts that were now double moving all to the corner of the board where Padme basically had to go to score, because it was battle lines, to score secret mission. And I'm thinking like, she just boom, she'll pop right in there, no problem. This is easy, Luke's dead. And Padme kind of broke off from the rest of my army to go over and score secret mission. And I'm thinking, Luke's dead. I had to keep Anakin over behind, like over more towards my deployment zone, because that's where Luke was coming to try to flank me. So now it's just like basically Padme out on her own. And when that land speeder triple moves, it gets across the board pretty quick. So this like fully loaded land speeder and Leia is kind of flying down the board. And I'm like, wait a second. It doesn't matter how much I kill, because I can't reach her VAPS. I can't reach R2. And now I might lose this game 3-2 if Padme dies.
Hey, look. Leia needed some revenge, because Padme decided to die rather than raise her, okay?
That is very true.
Yep.
That is very true. So, yeah, it was a rough go. Padme ended up surviving with 5 wounds on her. She had one wound left. And she had to make it into the end zone, and there were two... Both the naked scouts made it over there with standbys, and one of the vets was over there with a standby, and it was kind of like a situation where it's like all three of them had standbys, they were over behind a building, and Padme was going to have to run with one wound remaining into the end zone. So DC-15 squad moved up, shot the vet, took off the standby. My second to last activation, Echo moved up and split fired, because he was behind the building, basically at this point, side by side with Padme. Split fired, shot one of the commandos with like basically his buddy, like the other ARC trooper that's with Echo in the strike team. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it killed anybody, because at that point I didn't even care. It's
you're just getting rid of the standbys.
Just getting rid of standbys.
Yep. So it was I think it might have been the first time I've split fired in like maybe 2 years, but I used split fire to knock off both standbys with Echo. So I was able to knock off all three standbys with 2 units, and then Padme hopped into the end zone. And then it was a tie, 3-3, and I had 450 kill points.
5-5.
Oh my god.
5-5.
So 5-5. 5-5 with 450 kill points, but it does not do it justice. I literally was like,
you could have very easily lost this.
Extremely close to losing multiple times, like on multiple rolls that could have gone south, especially rolling white dice. Usually I'm not rolling saves on Padme side, but either way, it was a very close game. So when you pull it up on Game Uplink and it's like 450 kill points, like, what do you mean it's a close game? It was extremely close, because one die roll in the other direction and it would have been 5-4, not 3-2, 5-4.
That's good math. That checks out.
Yeah, so Barra played that perfectly. In my mind, I was like, okay, I killed Luke, I killed a Mark II, like, this is game over. But instead... the land speeder came flying over. I was able to knock out the land speeder and Leia in the process. That's where the total 450 was: Luke, the land speeder, Leia, and I was eventually able to get a Mark II.
The three L's.
Got them all.
Luke, Leia, land speeder.
But yeah, it was a close one. It was a close
that
one.
That is just called child abuse.
Is that what it's called?
I mean, Padme had to smack her kids around a little bit, so yeah, basically.
So
way to
good.
Go, John.
Yeah, 3-0, and I think I'm sticking with the arcs for worlds, so there's a lot of,
good.
Lot of utility.
It's a good dice pool.
Yeah.
Sharpshooter's good.
Sharpshooter, very good.
Sharpshooter.
Pierce, very good.
Impervious.
Tactical. There's
basically all their keywords.
The whole unit's good.
Yep. Yep. For like 101 points. Very good. Very, very good. Well, cool. I also went to a tournament. I went to Nick Bodnar's Top Deck tournament over in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I always like going to Top Deck. Top Deck's like an awesome store. Lots of room, lots of great products to buy. Like I'm not doing an ad, but it's one of the bigger game stores I've ever been to. So like, it's awesome. If you haven't been,
I haven't been.
It is amazing.
It's Brendan, you got to go. It's amazing.
Somehow every time he's running something, I have another thing pop up and I just go, why?
He needs to coordinate with you first. Come on, Nick, get on that. All right, so I'm practicing for Worlds. Big spoily, right? So this is billed as a Worlds practice. So without going into the weeds too much, we practice using the proper Galactic Conquest rules, meaning we do not get time callouts during the round. We do not know when the round starts. If we ask Nick for the time, he will say there is approximately time left. He kept saying that all day. So basically, pairings get put up, and then some amount of time, like I am just going to say somewhere between 0 and 10 minutes, he will start the timer. Like, but that's only secretive to him. And then he rolls 5 red dice, and he adds, you know, plus or minus 5 minutes to the round. So that was interesting. I didn't like it. I really have to make muscle memory to basically like set an alarm on my phone or like a stopwatch on my phone as soon as pairings are called. Cause like I need to know. I used to just be able to like listen to like, you know, Star Wars Legion players, you know, like there's 1 hour remaining left in the round. I'd be like, okay, like we're on turn 4. So like, I, you know, slightly want to pick it up. But no, didn't get those types of callouts. So
technically, you are not allowed to be using any kind of timekeeping device.
I don't think you are, but like,
but you can't be stopped from wearing a watch.
A watch, basically. That was the other thing I was going to say. Wear a watch. I think it's very silly. I don't know if it's. I don't want to get into the weeds of that. We could talk about it after if we want. I'm going to talk about games because that's more fun.
That's true.
So I brought my list. Clank Sinatra, that's my little B1 buddy that's playing the piano. I love that guy. I place him on the terrain all the time. He sings me a tune. Hopefully he gives me some good dice rolls.
So
Clank Sinatra didn't really have a
continue. Go ahead, Corey. At what point are you just gonna start playing all of those like AI B1 singing songs while you're playing?
I'm already thinking about buying a really, really cheap Bluetooth speaker and then just playing it as soon as Clank Sinatra goes on the field.
You want me to just bring this one I have on my table here?
Yeah, I mean, that works too. Oh, God. Yeah, there's some great AI B1 covers. It's great. Oh, God. They're so good. If you haven't listened to any one of them, just go on YouTube. Search B1 AI covers and you'll get a ton of hits. They're all really good.
They are all hilarious.
Yeah, it's impressive. I am ready to bow down to our AI overlords because, like, you know,
they do
covers of everything, right? There's an Eric Cartman one that I found. That's also pretty good. Anyways, moving along. So I made some adjustments to the list I normally run. So I brought experimental droids. I brought Kalani Aggressive Tactics, 2B1s with 2 worker droids, 2B2s with the Haas, a Magnagar with an RPS, and then 3BX commandos with sniper, offensive push, and shields. So And this is 793, so I get a small bid to hopefully play my deck. Big differences here is I don't really have the aim support that I'm normally used to for my BXs. Normally, I like to put Electro Binoculars on some B1s. Because I feel like BXs are pretty... They want the aims, and I felt aim-starved throughout the entire day. But we'll get into that. So, first game, I play against Patrick Sherlock. Spoiler alert, he won the tournament. he was playing a Tempest Force list. He was... Let me pull it up, because it was pretty good.
I'm wondering
if his list name is Really Brave Scouts.
Yeah,
I really like that name.
I played him back in January with this Tempest list, and
yeah, it was. Ooh, did he say? Well, I'll get into it. But he brought two Stormtroopers with the Astromech, and then six Scouts, all with emergency transponders. No weapon, no nothing. Then he put Marquand and then an AT-ST with all the fixins, right? Link targeting array, the range 3 gun, the range 2 grenade launcher, and the elite hammer pilot. He had a 4-point bid, but luckily I outbid him, so we played my deck. We landed on Sabotage, Rollout, Supply Drop. So
out against Tempest?
Well, he actually didn't roll out too far, if that makes sense.
Okay.
But I mean, there's no escaping these ATSTs. They're coming at me, and I have to do my objective. It was basically a perfect storm of events, and I don't know if I want to say I got like hot diced off the table, but that's what I feel in my heart of hearts. So my RPS, my Magna's RPS is shooting, my B2 Haas are shooting, and they're getting like the what I like to call the bare minimum, which is like one crit and two impact. So I was basically getting three. I was hoping to get like a spike and get lucky and get, you know, get like four, make him make four saves at one time. But every single time I shot his first ATSD, the not Marquand, because he presented the regular one first, he rolled paint every single time. So here's three hits. Here's two saves. Here's three hits. Here's three saves. Here's three hits. Here's like, I was like, at the end of turn two, it didn't die, and I started laughing hysterically. And I was like, I don't know what to do, because like, this should die.
These were white defense dice.
These are white defense rolls. His white defense rolls were on fire.
They
picked up
better than my red.
Yeah, they were better than my red, guaranteed.
Real quick before you get into it, that is 100% better than my red saves, because I played a game on Sunday, and Maul went 0-4 and died.
Not what you want to see.
No. And I had surges available to me and everything. It was bad.
So Patrick, I'm going to rename him Patrick Sherluck, because all of his dice is very lucky. Or how about Patrick Sherlucky? Anyways. Yeah, he assured me. He's like, yeah, I don't know what it is about my ATSDs, but they save like absolute beasts. So, and I clapped right back at him. And I said, all right, well, my B1s always throw crits. And I mean, they did. My B1s did more work than my BXs. I know none of these units have impact, but I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, basically the ATSDs kept marching forward, and then I couldn't kill the first ATSD by turn two. So I was in trouble, because like his scouts are approaching to go approach my VAPs. I lose the roll off turn three as a one pip off. And then I'm going to give him props. He picked up a holo projector and saved it for the super attack one pip. And I knew he was going to play a one pip to do the roll off. So he did not have to put back his ATST order. He put back a scout order. And I was like, you sneaky, sneaky guy. Good job.
That's a good
point. Man, because I would have loved for him to fish for that order, right? Because like, it was like on two wounds or something like that. But yeah, I lost that roll off. I lost like one of my impact units. Eventually that ATST goes down, but not before it like decimates something else. Oh, and then also his attack dice were great even without aims. Like, he's like, oh, okay, here's six, and then I'm going to reroll these white. Okay, these white are now two additional hits for the full eight. I'm like, oh, God. It was crazy. I don't know what to do against ATSDs if they save. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So eventually, his scouts move up into a position where they can contest my closest VAP to him. And he's able to tap it, and I'm able to not do anything about it. He did every single smart play. He was a really good player. I just couldn't down the ATSDs quick enough. I just couldn't do it. So I lose that game 3-4. Next game, played against Ryan. He played a double AAT list. Nice. So like a man after my heart of yesteryears. He had Kalani, aggressive tactics, two B1s with worker droids, two naked, a B1 with a Viper, a Geonosian warriors naked, and then, yeah, like I said, two tanks. They had like a smattering of stuff, like a bunch of shells, bunker, but one of them had bunker, one of them had armor, both of them had LTA. So we play his deck because he has a 10-point bid. And then we land on intercept, major, and minefield. So basically what this boils down to is, on intercept, if you're playing droids, you need to basically score last. The very, very last round is what I found. And just let your tanks do, no pun intended, the tanking. So just like literally just hide all your axe behind them. It would be really, really hard for my list to kill at least one tank. And then you just go bum rush the middle, right? That's the idea. He got a little bit too aggressive to go towards the middle point, and I was able to pick off like two acts kind of at the end of round two, and then like another act at the end of round three. And it just kind of snowballed from there. He just kept presenting more of the trooper units. And I just didn't shoot at the AATs unless I had to, if there was no other target. So then I win that game 7-4. It was a fun game, good opponent. And then last round, I played Colin. I played Colin a couple times, and boy howdy, I think Colin found a list that he really is driving with. So I'm blue player, he's red, and we landed on recovered, hemmed in, and hostile. And he's bringing a cool like Geonosian list. It's 10x. He's got Poggle, Cad Bane with comms relay, up close and situational. He's got two B2s with the HA and a regular battle droid, five Geonosian warriors with pikes, and then a BX commando, full commando squad with a sniper, offensive push, and shields for like flavor, right? That was his little spice.
Flavor.
Nice. I think recover was in the third slot of the objective row. I don't remember too much, but with me having hemmed in, I was like okay with that as blue, because like I'm right next to the box, the center box. But the thing with hemmed in is like placing objectives is really weird. Like placing static objectives like sab VAPs or recover, because you have to go to the left or to the right of your deployment, and sometimes they're not like the best. But the way this shook out is I put all my boxes to the right, and on Colin's side of red hemmed in, he basically put like a full like a Geonosian force. He put CAD, he put two B2s and Poggle on that one side to go contest those two quote unquote safe boxes of mine. And then he put two boxes all the way on the other side of the board that were his. I don't think I could get to them. There's huge line of sight blockers. It was like a Ferex table from Andor, if you've seen that board before from Nick. So there's like huge, huge, tall line of sight buildings there. Geos go real fast. Geos and Cad go threaten my safe boxes, and I'm already like immediately feeling that pressure. So like that was interesting. And then what ended up happening was is there was a gigantic scrum melee mix up towards my safe boxes. Cad gets down all the way down to two wounds remaining, and I was like, this is great. This is gonna be great. He double moves into my B1 to be in safety. And then Colin's like, yeah, I'm just gonna double move my B2s in there as well. So let me paint this picture, and maybe we'll post a picture on our Instagram later. Please. And maybe the Discord. In melee with my 7-man B1 squad is Cad, 2 B2s, and a Geonosian warrior. That B1 squad tanked like, you know, a good amount of melee hits too, and then recovered and repaired some of the wounds back. So it's stuck around in melee for I think 2 turns. So that was I guess a plus.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, it was good. Meanwhile, my BXs are trying to deal with his other geos from approaching the center box. Basically, I think this game boiled down to I should have concentrated more of my forces towards the scrum that was going on my safe boxes. And I focused too much on the middle one. Also, there was a fun rules interaction I had to ask Nick, because I was like, okay, my B1, my the way all of this worked is like, my B1s, when that I had 4 models remaining, he did a punch, and then all of a sudden there was 1 model remaining, but all of those units had to go, what's the word? Is it cohere?
Well, they had to engage. They had to
snap back into melee.
Yeah.
Okay. So they had to snap back into melee, but there's definitely not enough room around this B1. So I didn't know the steps for it. What it boils down to is the person making the attack gets to pick what units and what models snap into melee. So he was like, okay, I guess my B2 and Cad will snap in, and then this other B2 will not. So I thought that was interesting. If you're ever in a multi-man melee, like, that's what's going on.
I would assume they all have to if there is space, too.
If there is space, but there was not.
Okay.
Right. There was too many bodies.
I just want to make sure we make that clear to everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that was interesting to work through. It gave Nick a little headache. But then, yeah, so then eventually he eventually kills that B1. And then Geonosian on like 1 wound like grabs that box and tries to run away. I play, and then he uses his BX, he uses Poggle, and he uses a B2 that get heavily wounded to go into melee with like 3 of my dudes that were gonna go potentially shoot the box carrier. So I played the super tac 2 pip that gives me disengage. And then I just didn't see it. So what happened was is Cad is behind a wall. I kind of wrote Cad off. One of my B2s did grab a, I'm sorry, one of my B1s did grab a box, but he has 1 wound remaining and he runs behind a wall. And I think he's safe. I think he's just sitting there. And I can walk out and shoot the Geonosian at any time. Cad doesn't have an order. So little did I know, Colin's just trying to fish for Cad's order from the bag. And I just wait. I didn't even think Cad could double move and steady shoot this B1. That's effectively what happened. That wall was not as line of sight blocking as I wanted to from that angle. And then, you know, Colin called it out too. He's like, okay, I need, because the B1 had taken a dodge as well. So he needed 3 hits, right? Heavy down to light. And then I had a dodge. So he's like, I need 3 hits to kill this B1. And he rolls, he goes, I got 3 hits. I was like, damn it, man. And then, yeah, then that's how I lose the game. 2-1, a surprisingly low scoring recover game. Normally it's like 2-3 or like 2-2. But it was a ton of fun. I learned a lot. Geo's really, really getting your face. And like, you kind of have to deal with them. I don't think I want to play Recover against them again. Yeah.
Don't want to play Recover against the really fast units?
I think if it wasn't hemmed in, I'd be kind of okay with it. But maybe.
That's fair.
But yeah, that was my tournament experience. 1 and 2. I didn't really like the list I ended up with. So what did I do? I changed it, and then I said, John, can we play a game? We played a game at our at Critical Hit, right?
During the local days night. Later.
2 days later. And then what did John do? He beat up on a child. He beat me up.
You're a child?
It's a hairy looking child.
I am in this game. Yeah, I mean, like, what did we do? We did Hostage Hemmed In, and I was blue. We were both at 800. I changed my list to the more aim-centric one, so, like, basically...
Why do you have Hemmed In in your list?
I don't know. I was trying different stuff.
Seems like the answer is stop.
I should have put Payload in instead of Hostage.
Yes.
I like Hemmed In when you're playing Recover. Excuse me.
All right, well, then, yeah, get rid of Hostage. You don't have a Force user.
I know. Well, okay, so this is my thing. The Cherokee results were interesting. Because the winner of that had Hostage in his deck. And I was like, what am I missing? Like, you're blue. You have Hostage. You have to kill something. Okay.
The extra.
So that's why I wanted to try it.
Yeah, the extra speed on the Hostage carrier was nice.
Like, it's good, for sure.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Basically, John and I's game just boiled down to I tried to kill something, and I failed, and then it got away, and then he killed way too many things of mine.
Fair.
Yep. Yep.
Basically, I think the formula for that list with Padme, that 2-pip is just so good on turn 2 to get that extra... free move before the turn starts and get her out of there. Or get the hostage carrying unit out of there.
It's a good card.
Yeah.
I even tried to like counteract that because I knew you were going to play it turn 2. I tried playing the super attack 1-pip make you toss that order back or remove your order from... Oh, wait, no. Yeah, no, the one on Anakin has to stay because of the card.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, all right, I'm going to make you make a hard choice. And you threw it away. I tried shooting it. Didn't die. I think I got one model. That was a little sad. And there was no dodges on the board. You just did like a natty 3 or 4 blocks or something like that.
There was one dodge on Anakin because I put the other order on Anakin and then gave him the dodge.
Right.
And then they had surges from Anakin.
Yeah, I had like 5 Pierce 1. You made it 4 Pierce 1. Yeah. And then it didn't end up mattering.
Yeah.
Because then the next thing you pulled, I even think you improvised orders for it.
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
Which is a fun new upgrade card that I am loving.
Brendan, get this. He's never used improvised orders until, like, I think our game.
That is correct.
Get out.
I've never had to.
I've
never had to. So the one thing I've noticed with having, because my order pool is Commander, Operative, 3 Special Forces, 3 Core. All my other order pools have been basically 5 Core, 1 Special. So like it's always just like, oh, it's going to be Core. Oh, it's going to be Core. And then occasionally I'll pull something that I don't want. But with this, it's like a 50-50 shot between Special Forces and Core. So I was like, what if I throw improvised orders in there so that I can have a little bit more order control over pulling a Core when I want to juice up the arcs or pulling an arc if I want to fire support, you know, and get immune deflect on the fire support versus pulling a Core. You know, you get the idea. So I threw that on there. Amazing. Amazing. I love that card.
It worked well for you the entire time.
John, have you ever been told you're a horrible person?
No.
Starting now.
I don't think it would have been as relevant in the lists that I've been playing. Whereas this list, it feels very relevant.
Yeah, it definitely, you pulled exactly what you wanted to pull. So, yep, I agree.
Whereas,
man, my BXs are, they're doing me dirty. They hit like wet noodles the entire time during Nick's tournament. I only got one shot that was 8 Pierce 1. The rest were like 4.
So what you need to do lower. Is just, you know, get new white dice and you'll be fine.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Sounds like
there was even one shot where I got nothing. I blanked on everything, including the red dice.
Which white dice were you using? The white dice or the clear dice?
I used 2 clear white dice, and then the rest were white. Okay. The proper chemical balance of dice.
There's your problem. You need 3 clear dice.
Okay. All right. This I could do.
And 1 marbled red dice, safe, 1 though. Normal red dice.
Okay.
Or 1 marbled and 1 clear red.
Specifically dice. Manufactured from a 2021 starter set. I hear that's a good year.
It's a good year. It's got good bubbles in the die.
Good blend. Yep. Good blend.
Mm-hmm.
What you need are the clear white dice that have 2 crits on them, and you'll be fine.
Yes, those are the ones I need. Those are the golden ones.
I'm more concerned about Brendan's red defense dice.
We need to throw those in the garbage.
Yeah, those might need to go.
Yeah, I need some promo red defense dice. If AMG could get on that would be great.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be on the prize wall.
Here's hoping.
That'd be nice.
Those ones will be the ones with 2 crit facings.
It'll be with surge to crit.
There'll only be 1 blank on these red dice.
Oh my god.
And I'll still find it on every roll.
The white attack dice, though, I mean, that's why I don't play Z6s.
Yeah. It's just,
but John,
like the math, the math says with that many aims,
entire B1.
They also surge to hit, so that's why I feel better about it. I don't know.
Well, that's true. But think of all—I mean, for an entire year, remember when I was doing nothing but triple Wookiee Padme?
Yeah,
and like my whole
those white dice will. Yeah.
I was thinking about this while I was driving around today. The whole premise behind that list was I would fire support a RPS into the shooty Wookiees. But I'd fire support it from range 4. That pool is pretty similar because it would be 8 white, 1 black, 2 red. Right? Because a rainbow from the RPS and then 7 white, 1 red from the Wookiees. Surge hit.
That sounds right.
And then I'd put targeting scopes on it. So you'd get, for every 2 aims, it's like rolling 3 aims on a non-targeting scopes unit. So,
well, I wish I could put targeting scopes. Oh.
So pretty similar. Because if you spent 2 aims, that'd be like me spending... Or if you spent 3 aims, that'd be like me spending 2 aims.
My problem is, though, I have to... I would like to spend an aim on lethal. See, where your shooty wooks have pierce naturally.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's the main difference. Yeah.
So the pool becomes very similar when you start accounting for it. You don't have to spend the aim for. And I remember there were times where it'd be amazing, and then there'd be times where I'd get very frustrated because it'd do absolutely nothing. And that'd all come back to just the white die, the nature of the white die.
Yep.
I will say that was the most fun I had with, I think, out of any list design, is that year where I did nothing but Wookiee Padme.
It was cool.
Yes.
Corey, obviously what you need to do is just switch out for the Deoxys mine.
That you don't want to do.
And then swords? Probably swords.
Maybe?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe post-worlds you try that.
No, post-worlds what I'm trying is... I think I have enough magnas between the ones I, like the 3 I have plus the 3D printed ones. I'm going to try 5 naked magnas in EXD, 1 B1.
Considering everybody has ruled them out.
And then 3 BX. Like, I think it's one of those like, okay, I'm going to shove these in your face. Deal with them.
I don't know. That does sound entertaining.
It does. Because Naked Magnus, there's four of them, right, in the squad? Yeah, there's four of them. I don't know. It sounds fun.
Worth a try.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got lots on my painting table, too. I got a Geos and a bunch of other Wookiees to build.
I just took advantage of the nice weather we had over the weekend and did some priming. So,
oh yeah,
I primed two tables and my third squad of BXs, so I can give some tries for this experimental droids. So,
my man, welcome to the party.
However, that's probably going to get on the back burner since the Inquisitors are out on Friday.
No, quick, get them done. Screw the table. Get the BXs done. All right, gentlemen. I think we've been rambling long enough. Anything else to add before we close the show?
No, sir.
All righty. Sounds good to me. We are the Inglorious Blasters. I'm Corey.
I'm John.
John seemed confused. I'm Brendan. I'm apparently going to Adepticon.
See you nerds there. Stay glorious, everyone.